Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we turn our attention to the word of the Lord as he spoke through his prophet Zechariah, chapter 9, verses 9 and 10, a portion of our Old Testament lesson for today. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Here ends our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our King, dear fellow redeemed, extraordinary, adjective derived from the Latin meaning beyond or out of the ordinary, uncommon, rare, wonderful, sent for a special purpose or on a particular occasion. When you were getting ready to come to church this morning, did anything about this day strike you as particularly extraordinary? Chances are probably not. You dressed and had breakfast like you usually do, possibly with one eye on the clock so that you weren't late getting ready for church. Nothing uncommon or rare in that. Parents got their children dressed and listened to grumbling as hair was combed and church shoes were looked for. Nothing strange or out of the ordinary there. It's the same routine you go through every Sunday. Perhaps it was only when you were approaching the entry of the church that you saw the palm branches and thought to yourself, oh, that's right, today is Palm Sunday. There is something special about today. In a lot of ways, Palm Sunday is extraordinary. Right in the depth of the Lenten season, sandwiched between Passion Sunday and the solemn occasion of Good Friday, comes this day of rejoicing, this day of hosannas, Palm Sunday. What is it that makes this day, of all days, so uncommon and rare? In our text for today, the prophet Zechariah tells us, he paints an extraordinary picture, a picture of the coming of an extraordinary king and the establishment of an extraordinary kingdom. The king he's referring to, of course, is Jesus Christ, and the occasion is Palm Sunday. And amazingly, Zechariah described these events so accurately over 500 years before they actually happened. Let's look more closely at the inspired words of the prophet as we consider Zechariah's extraordinary Palm Sunday prophecy. On Palm Sunday, we welcome Jesus as our King, the ruler of our lives, and that all by itself is a little extraordinary, isn't it? As school children, we pledged our allegiance to the flag of the United States, and as adults at athletic events, we sing the national anthem of the great democracy in which we live. And that's all well and good. We haven't always had a very high regard for kings, however, ever since George III and the Boston Tea Party. We haven't thought much about kings, and we're not used to thinking of ourselves as subjects of a kingdom. But we are. As Christians, we're members of the kingdom of God, the universal church of all believers, sometimes in the Bible called the New Jerusalem. When Zechariah addresses the daughter of Jerusalem, he's talking to us. Jesus is our king, and our allegiance to him comes even before our allegiance to the country that we love. And on this extraordinary day, the prophet tells us that we have good reason to rejoice and be happy, because our king is coming to us. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Rejoice. That's what the prophet's saying to you this morning. You've got a king who is extraordinary, who is unlike any other king the world has ever seen. What's so extraordinary about this king? First of all, he is a righteous king. His righteousness and his justice is perfect. Well, under America's systems of justice, people get away with crimes sometimes, don't they? Frequently. But under God's system of justice, that never happens. In fact, there is a day coming when God will hold to account every person for every breaking of even the least of his commandments. Scripture says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." And if we look into our hearts, each of us has to confess that we've broken God's commandments time without number. We've sinned against God many times, grievously, and every day. That's why it's so important to recognize that Jesus came as a righteous king. When Christ came to earth, he didn't simply ignore our sin. He didn't wave a magic wand and cause them to disappear. As a just and righteous king, he couldn't do that. He told his disciples, "Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." Jesus came to fulfill the law. He knew that a price had to be paid for each sin that you and I had committed, and he came to pay that price as our just and righteous king. Our text says that he came having salvation. On Palm Sunday, Jesus rode into the city of Jerusalem knowing full well that in less than a week he would be dying on the cross of Calvary in order to pay that price. Jesus is also our humble king. And a humble king is pretty extraordinary too, isn't it? Because kings by nature are not humble normally. They're proud and stately. During World War II, Emperor Hirohito of Japan made important public appearances in a proud uniform and riding a impressive white stallion. He boosted the Japanese war effort quite a bit by those appearances. The King of Palm Sunday was extraordinary not for his pride, but for his humility. The everyday clothes he wore, the humble donkey that he rode into Jerusalem on, these were symbolic of the humility so necessary for our salvation. Because it was necessary, it took a tremendous amount of humility for Jesus to do for us what he did. A few moments ago in our epistle lesson, we heard Paul remind us that Jesus made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Thank God our king was different, not proud, but humble. Jesus' kingdom is different and extraordinary too, isn't it? Very often misunderstood as well. I always ask my confirmation students the same question: where is God's kingdom? And I always get the same answer: in heaven. Which is partly true. Jesus certainly is the king of heaven and of earth too. But the borders of Christ's kingdom stretch even further than that. When the Jews asked Jesus about his kingdom, he said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God is within you, in your hearts, yours and mine. And every Christian who receives Jesus as his Savior, that's where the kingdom of God is, and those are the people who are the subjects of that kingdom. Wherever the Holy Spirit has given a human being faith in Christ as his personal Savior, there in that person's heart is the kingdom of God. Christ's kingdom is extraordinary too because it is a kingdom of peace. And we're used to associating mighty kingdoms with a great martial tradition. We associate greatness in a kingdom or nation only if it has huge armies and powerful weapons. In our world of the 21st century, it seems like a country just doesn't raid unless it has a standing army in the millions and an arsenal bristling with nuclear weapons. What's the most powerful kingdom or nation in the world today? Well, it's not Red China, and it's not Russia, and it's not even the United States. By far, the most powerful kingdom in this world is the kingdom of Christ. What other kingdom could turn millions from ignorance to knowledge, from darkness to light, from eternal damnation to eternal salvation? The world's most famous military commander, perhaps, was Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte of France. He once said, "I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every other person in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I myself have founded empires. But on what did we rest the creation? Upon force. Jesus Christ founded his empire upon love, and at this hour, millions of men would die for him." The prophet Zechariah in our text likewise predicted the coming of a king whose force and whose power would have nothing to do with arms or weapons. "I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations." The peace that our king brings to us is different. It's a peace that's real, and it's a peace that we can use in our everyday life. Recall a conversation I had with a young man, a Christian, who was facing some tough trials in his life, and he said to me, "Pastor, I just had the worst week I've ever had. Everything that possibly could go wrong did. Only one thing kept me going, the realization that in the end, none of this stuff really matters. Christ died for me, and I'm on my way to heaven. And that's all that really matters." Now that, to me, is real peace. I'm all for peace. I'd love to see peace in Iraq and Afghanistan and the Middle East and in Libya. But this is peace that matters to each of us in our everyday life. This is where the rubber meets the road. To be able to overcome adversity. To have a clear conscience through Christ. To be able to sleep soundly at night at peace with your God and with your fellow man. That's a real peace, a peace we can use. Well may we sing our hosannas. Well may we lay our palm branches at the feet of a king who brings us that kind of peace. What is the biggest kingdom in the world, the biggest nation? In the history of the world, people most often say that the Roman Empire was the biggest kingdom, the largest unified kingdom the world has ever seen. Under the Emperor Trajan in the 2nd century AD, the Roman Empire stretched from the river Euphrates in Mesopotamia in the east all the way to the British Isles in the west. Interestingly, that same river Euphrates is the river referred to by the prophet Zechariah in our text for today. But the kingdom of Christ, he says, will stretch much further than that. His dominion shall be from the sea to the sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. The kingdom of Christ is extraordinary because it knows no boundaries at all. It's present the world over, wherever the gospel is preached and believed. It's in Asia and China, Africa, Great Britain and America. It's in Russia, Japan, and Germany. It's everywhere there are faithful hearts who trust in Jesus as their only light and salvation. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday, he was bringing salvation not to one city, but to the world. He was bringing it not to one people, but to all people everywhere, of every walk of life, of every age and era. By virtue of our faith in Christ, you and I are subjects of that extraordinary kingdom. And now we have work to do. Our Lord, our King, has given us an assignment. His instructions: go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time you shouted out loud for joy? Can you remember? I can. I was walking back from my mailbox, leisurely opening my mail, when I discovered a check for $800 from the IRS. Evidently, I had overpaid my taxes, I guess. I don't recall actually shouting out loud, but I guess I must have, because when I looked around, people were staring at me. It was a little embarrassing, but there just are those instances in life in which you can't hold back your delight. Palm Sunday is one of those instances. Today we welcome Jesus, our extraordinary King, into our hearts. And Zechariah tells us that Palm Sunday is one day when you shouldn't try to hold back. Rejoice greatly, the prophet says, and shout with joy. God grant that all of us may experience the extraordinary joy of pardon and peace in our Savior, and that we may live that joy every day of our lives until we're finally united with our Lord Jesus in the courts of heaven. Amen. Please rise.